Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're diving into the question that's on the minds of many college students and parents. Should students get a job in college? We'll talk about the benefits, the drawbacks, and how working can impact time management for college students. To help answer this question, let's start by looking at the pros and cons. We'll start with the positives. Many students work in college to gain extra income, of course, but also to build experience, meet others, network, and learn valuable skills that will help them in their careers. A job can help them stand out after graduation, since employers value experience. There's no doubt that having a job can help with managing money. For some students, it even makes college more affordable, and certain jobs can provide direct experience in a student's field, helping them develop skills and knowledge. Jobs can also boost soft skills like communication and problem solving. Here to talk about this is John Meir. So, we've talked about this off camera, but I want to bring you on the podcast to kind of just talk about your work. And you work at Starbucks on campus, and I just wanted to kind of hear more about like your work schedule, with how that kind of works with like your school schedule, extracurriculars, and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. So go to Michigan State. You know, I do love it. First year was great. I am also, for those listening, I am from Rhode Island with Ryan. We have gone basically to the same school together since I want to say like fourth grade when I transferred in.
Yep.
You know, I've known Ryan since I was like 8 years old.
Yeah.
Very good friends. Friends for over 10 years now. So, yeah, but, you know, obviously balancing work, I will say it was not the easiest thing, but it definitely brought some balance to my life, some mm-hmm. much needed balance. You know, I want to say the first few months when I didn't have a job, it was a little tough. Mm-hmm. You know, the lack of motivation to do things, it wasn't all there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it all came at once, but, you know, once I kind of had that schedule of, you know, waking up, either going to work or going to class, and then finishing off the night sometimes with work, you know, it was, I didn't have a strict schedule. It was kind of all over the place, but, you know.
Yeah.
I was able to fit some time to go into the gym, you know. It still is great. I still work. It's all around just brought a little bit of balance to my life, you know.
Mm.
It's not like I don't have time to go visit my family around the holidays, you know. It's all around, it's just great. So yeah. I do enjoy working.
That's cool. So yeah, again, we've talked about this before, but yeah, it seems like you're really liking it and you're doing well with it, which is cool, and is definitely a cool experience to have under your belt. And I know a few people. We're gonna bring someone else on the podcast who also has a job, but yeah, like school finals and stuff like that, everything still goes well for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my bosses, because I work with other people that I go to school with, obviously,
yep.
they kind of are a little bit less strict. You know, you got to leave a little bit early. It's not that big of a deal. You know, obviously, a lot of people come to Starbucks to study.
Yeah.
Kind of just to, like, sit around. But, you know, I'm not the only one that is like there and goes to school. Everyone goes to school, so you know they're a little bit more lenient, and I still have time to study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. I wake up early, I'll go to the gym, I'll go to my classes, I'll study extra hard, you know. It just helps me put in the extra time, and it's just great, you know. So
yeah, and you're a barista, right? So you're making the drinks and all that.
Oh yeah
Is that fun? Was,
you know, like, I worked at Target when I was still in Rhode Island.
Yep. Yeah.
definitely different, you know. Obviously, it's still the same, like, corporate stuff, but, you know, I never really saw myself making coffees, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, here I am, so.
That's really funny. So, do you, one last thing is, do you have any, like stories you want to tell about working at Starbucks?
Yeah, so, I mean, I remember one day, this was early on, you know, I woke up a little late.
Uh-huh.
I woke up at 12 and my shift was at 11, and this definitely does not happen anymore, I promise, because, you know, I've gotten more of a schedule now, but
mm-hmm.
My shift was at 11. I got to work at like 12:05 because, you know, I kind of just like sprinted to work. And yeah, I mean, wasn't too happy with me, but you know, it is what it is. It's just a job. At the end, everyone makes mistakes, but yeah, I mean, you learn from it. It's great. I still have time to balance school and everything, make a bunch of friends. I like all the people I work with, you know.
Awesome.
But I mean, other than that, I mean, everything's been great. No bad stories. Nothing bad has come out of it.
That's good.
Everything's fun. But, you know, every once in a while you get like the funny like customer. But
yeah.
Yeah. Mostly all students. It's mostly just having a fun time.
That's awesome. Yeah. So yeah, thank you. Thanks for talking with me and talking on this podcast today.
Yeah, anytime.
Now, working in college isn't without its challenges. Balancing a job with classes, studying, and a social life can be overwhelming. The key is managing your time well, but that can also be difficult if your job hours are long or irregular. Here to talk about this is Ali Razak. We've talked only like a little about this off camera. We haven't gone into a lot of detail about it, but so you worked at the Brown Bookstore. You used to work there, but quit at the end of last year, right?
Right. Yeah. That's like I remember sophomore year going into junior year. Yeah. I thought that, you know, getting a job, I can be able to balance it very well. I talked about it with my parents and everything, and you know, they always talked about their experiences, you know, working during college and everything. And, you know, junior year is supposed to be a pretty challenging year. And mm-hmm. I knew that coming into it. But nevertheless, I still said, you know, I can commit to working. Yeah. And I remember my first week on the job, it was really draining because I held myself to a certain standard to make everything, you know, perfect around all the things, you know, work properly. And I was quite a perfectionist, and it ended up hurting me, you know, academically and socially. I had, you know, barely enough time to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, what you told me. So you had trouble with like end of sophomore year, like finals, especially you told me off the podcast, that kind of made you make the decision, or like thinking about the decision, because you did quit the job in early junior year, right?
Right.
Yeah. So how are you feeling now? Are you doing better with like your academic, social life, and like stuff like that?
Yeah. Honestly, it's been so much better. I've had so much more free time. I remember when I was working, I had no time to hang out with friends. It was wake up, go to school, go to classes, go to study sessions, then go to work, then come home. I'm tired after work, and I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And you know, friends text you, but you still got to catch up on work because you were working a job, you know, during the day. But now, you know, I'm waking up. I'm actually waking up pretty early because I feel more like rested.
Yeah.
I wake up at about like 9 now. I used to wake up at about 10. I used to be exhausted. I wake up at about 9. I, you know, go about my day, and then I'm still able to, you know, hang out with my friends, study, you know, live a comfortable kind of student life.
Yeah.
That's healthy compared to how it was before.
Yeah, that sounds like you're doing pretty well. That's that's great to hear.
Yeah,
thank you for talking about this.
Of course, man.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later, man.
Of course, man. Appreciate it. See ya.
See ya. So, for some students who choose to work, here are a few time management tips to keep things balanced. First, create a schedule. Block out times for class, studying, work, and personal time. Having a schedule can help you see where your time goes and keep you organized. You can set priorities, know when school needs to come first, and communicate with your employer if you have exams or important assignments. You can look out for on-campus jobs. These are often more flexible and understanding of your academic schedule. And lastly, remember self-care. Make sure you set aside some time to recharge. Even if it's just a few hours per week, because you need to prioritize yourself before any job or school or anything. So, should students get a job in college? Well, it really depends on the individual, their workload, and their personal goals. Working can be a great opportunity for students to learn life skills and gain experience, but it's also important to know their limits and not overcommit yourself to anything. That's all for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope this gave you some insights into balancing work and study in college.
Welcome back to Universitalk. This is Kristen, and on today's episode, we'll be discussing schools' impact on mental health and specific things they can do to ensure their students are their best selves. So, a little bit about the mental health of students. It doesn't seem too outlandish to say that students may experience poor mental health during their education journeys. Of course, there are a lot of factors that don't necessarily have anything to do with the university, such as home life, friend drama, or other underlying causes. And of course, we have the main ones that are due to school, the overwhelming amounts of homework, endless tests and quizzes to find time to study for, grades that may not be what you wanted, as well as juggling classes and a social life. Unfortunately, for most of these stressors, it's hard for schools to accommodate. However, there are things that universities can do or improve. When asked about how schools or teachers go about improving their students' mental health, the answers are typically generic. Students preach about their mental health counselors and how they advertise numbers to call in and needed help. And while these resources are absolutely a necessity and should be broadcasted, this help only goes so far. Universities shouldn't just be giving students a place to go and complain about the school they're attending. They should be actively trying to reduce their own impact on the mental health of their students. Here I have a quote from the Pi Delta Kappan magazine, which proposes a three-tiered plan to improve mental health of students. It says, Tier 1 goals focus on promoting resilience, positive behavior, and safety, developing a supportive school environment where all students feel valued, connected, and respected, and identifying students who may be at risk for experiencing a mental health problem. The first step comes from creating an environment where students feel safe being themselves and feel comfortable talking to their teachers about any problems they may have. Teachers are responsible for this environment as well as keeping an eye out for things in their students that might be a warning sign for a mental health problem. Especially for kids in high school and below, they're spending all day every day with their teachers, so it's most obvious to them if they start acting in a way that's unusual. Identifying these behaviors and passing that along to the school psychologist can help students get help right away instead of letting it fester. For students in college, I think the main thing professors can do is just listen to their students. If they're saying that they feel unprepared for quizzes, give them study materials, offer more office hours, make yourself available so students feel it's easy to come talk to you and you'll be receptive. Also on the pod today, we'll be interviewing Ari Parker, a current university student, asking about his experience with mental health at his university and what ways he thinks schools can improve the lives of their students. So on the pod today, we have Ari Parker. Tell us a little bit about your experience with mental health at your university.
So I go to Berklee College of Music in Boston, and like all universities, it is extremely stressful. There are a lot of pressures either coming from myself or the presence of other students, especially being a performance-based school. It's very easy to compare yourself with other people, and that creates its own pressures that I definitely feel.
Absolutely, yeah. So what have you experienced at Berkeley to help you with these challenges?
So Berkeley offers counseling services. So I typically go there every single week and I speak with one of the counselors. As well as the counseling services, they have a lot of academic advisors and other staff that help with a lot of the stressors outside and inside of the school and help with scheduling.
So what else do you think Berkeley or other universities can do to reduce their specific impact on the mental health of their students?
I think that the counseling services they offer is really helpful, especially to help with the mental health problems that arise because of stressors that are outside of the school. But specifically talking about Berkeley's impact on students' mental health, I think that they could be a little bit more lenient on students missing class. Most teachers take attendance very seriously in their classes, and even if you get sick, it doesn't really feel like it's worth to skip because attendance is worth so much of your grade. Sometimes you might want to take a mental health day, but then it feels like you have to save your one skip day for a day you actually physically need it. I also think that they can listen to their students a little bit more when assigning projects or assignments. If everyone is saying that they need some more time because of their classes, extensions should be easy to get.
Right, so do you think it's more on the teachers than the actual university itself?
Yeah, mostly. I think that the university could have something where they give maybe a couple days of mental health days for the students, but since they don't firsthand see the students, it's kind of hard to help them as much because all individual cases are going to be different. I think since the students are the ones that are working with the teachers, especially when the classes are smaller, which most of the Berkeley classes are, it's easier to have this like teacher-student interaction that helps both the teacher understand the student's situation and the student get the most help that they can actually get.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the pod today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
So to sum up what we talked about, basically, universities and students need to work together to find ways to reduce student stress levels. It seems primarily up to the teachers since they're the ones with the one-on-one relationship with their students, but all in all, student mental health is an important issue that needs to be focused on so that students can do their best work and teachers can teach students at their best. That's the end of UniversiTalk for today. Don't forget to join us next week as we continue to discuss developments in student mental health.
Back to our podcast. Today, this is Ren, and I'll be talking about the inquiry of analyzing student engagement and motivation in general education in non-major related courses. Should students care and put effort into general education courses, or should colleges still require students to take general education courses, and why? Come along, and thank you for listening to my podcast. As a student myself, being new to college and its curriculum, I've always wondered why I have to take classes that don't relate to my major or are not requirements for my major. With the stress of balancing multiple classes while also having to build a reputable social life and network myself for future career opportunities, why do colleges make me take general education courses? Well, according to Stanford University admissions website, they claim that students should take general education courses because it makes students more well-rounded, more creative, and overall have a better experience. I have done intensive research on my inquiry and have found multiple writers with the same hypothesis as me. Author Yan Yang wrote an academic article titled, "Does Greater Engagement in Online General Education Courses Lead to Better Academic Performance? Evidence from Chinese University Students." From pages 298 to 315, we follow an experiment of comparing Chinese university students who have taken general education courses to those who have not and are taking major related courses only. The students who have taken general education courses prove to do better in their major related classes than those who haven't taken any general education courses. General education classes do help students in their personal and academic growth as students. Even though students can be very reluctant to take them, educators should engage students into their classes and make the topic of interest fun and accessible to the students. This is my largest point that I want to emphasize. Students need to be healthily engaged into these general education courses by educators. Again, I understand that college is all about learning to be independent, and it is not the professor's job to make sure students go to class or do their work. But they should engage students into their class to create a clear, open space to help students prepare and develop for their future major classes. An article written by Harleen Dami is a professor's guide to engaging students into general education courses. The five main ideas they present are understanding student interests and motivations, putting relevance front and center, ensuring students build upon their hard and soft skills, invite guest speakers to class, and highlight campus services and support. Educators apply these five attributes to their general education courses would make such a great change in student engagement in these classes. Educators know that students are taking these classes to graduate from school and should help smoothly transition them from grade school to higher education. Not only do educators have to play their part in engaging students in these classes, students also need to be open-minded and engaged in the courses to gain knowledge. It all begins in the advisor's office when picking first semester classes. Thomas F. Nelson Laird wrote, "What general education courses contribute to essential learning outcomes?" An article that mainly follows what the roles of general education courses, why they are important, and what they do. This provides the background for students to engage into these classes, even though they have no desire to take them. I believe if all college advisors did have this discussion with all incoming students, they would understand the why of general education courses and be more willing and open-minded to take them. Advisors are able to explain that these classes will do more good than harm to students. General eds would properly transition them to higher education, let them explore new topics that they are curious about, and meet new people that may have similar interests and career paths as them. Now, leading up to a big question of this episode, do I believe colleges should still require general education courses? Yes, I do believe that colleges should still require general education courses. Before my research, I was heavily against them. I thought they were unnecessary and time-consuming for students. Always wondering, why are these colleges making me take all of these classes that have nothing to do with my major? But now, after all of this intensive research, I understand. They want students to be the best versions of themselves, well-rounded and able to adapt to any environment. And what is the best way to do this? Make them take general education courses that dab into every subject matter. General education fosters critical thinking, effective communication, and cultural awareness by exposing students to various disciplines like the humanities, sciences, and social studies. These different courses encourage adaptability and problem solving by helping students connect ideas across different subjects. Additionally, they cultivate well-rounded individuals who are better prepared to engage with complex, real-world challenges both professionally and personally. Colleges should require students to take at least 5 to 7 general education courses because these classes provide a foundation of diverse knowledge and skills essential for success in any field. Now, we have concluded our inquiry about general education courses in college. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast episode. And this is Ren again. Thank you so much and enjoy.